My shoelace was caught under my chair and I was fixing it and I couldn't unmute fast enough.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we have our seventh special episode, which we're calling You'll Always Be Blank to Me. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Wonderful. Jeremy Nilsson, how are things in your world?
They are fantastic.
Good. Happy to hear it. Lee Healthy Scratch, how are you doing tonight?
Just fine.
Wonderful. And Mark Josting, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Excellent. Happy to hear it. So this is our seventh special episode, and the title for this again is You'll Always Be Blank to Me. So this is something that is sort of a counter to the special episode where we talked about actors or actresses that could really do anything, that can perform any kind of role. This is sort of on the opposite side of it. So this is an actor who is very closely defined by a large role in their career. So Lee, you sort of came up with this and championed this idea. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you thought of it and a little bit more specifics about what we're talking about here? And then I'll branch out a little bit as well.
Sure. Part of it was, you know, the flip side of the They Can Do Anything episode, you know, thinking about one role that somebody is probably known for or will be known for the rest of their career. I had seen an interview with Al Pacino years ago where he was talking about The Godfather, and he kind of ended the conversation with saying, you know, if there's ever a role that I'm remembered for after I'm gone, it'll probably be this one. And when we were talking about When Harry Met Sally, I was thinking that Meg Ryan will always be Sally Albright to me. So that's kind of where I came up with this.
Yeah, indeed. So essentially, it's that whether the role was perfect for the actor or actress, or the performance was so great that any other role that you saw that actor or actress in, you really couldn't see past that original performance. It doesn't mean that they weren't great performances in the future. It just meant that that original role was so indelible. You just saw that so strongly in your mind that you could never see anything differently. So we threw out to Twitter and Facebook, as we always do, and got a lot of great feedback, which is awesome. We've actually had to pare it down because we got too much. We'd be here for hours with all the feedback we got, which is wonderful. We like to get feedback, but we just don't want to be here for hours. So we kind of pared it down. But some of the feedback we got was sort of focusing more on actors or actresses that had a bit of a limited range. So let's call this the Keanu Reeves Memorial List. So Brian Mowen, Steve Skavnak, and Becca Elhorn Ralstad suggested Jay and Silent Bob from the Clerks and Jay and Silent Bob movies. So again, you know, actors and actresses that, because they don't have a lot of acting range, are pretty much just pigeonholed in those specific roles.
And we should mention those specific actors are Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith.
Indeed. Yes. Thank you. Charles Yule suggested Keanu Reeves as himself because, seriously, that's not acting. I largely agree with that. Margaret Andrews suggested Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are just Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie in all their movies to me. And then she did kind of a frowny face. So, you know, I think something like that where it's like their celebrity is so large, all you can see is them. You know, you don't ever see the character. So that's another side to it. And then Kyle Hoff suggested John Heder in Napoleon Dynamite. So again, kind of a narrow range there and a very strong first performance. So it's, we don't want to think about people that have a very limited range or that don't seem to be able to do anything other than one thing that they always do, but rather they just had a very strong performance that we just see them as not being able to escape in our minds. So we're going to do two rounds here with some feedback in between. So Jer, why don't you start us off in the first round here? Who's your first pick and tell us a little bit about why?
Well, for my first pick and both of my picks, I was trying to, like you have just described fairly well, find somebody that I actually like them in a variety of movies and not just a one-off or I only like them as this role, but I was trying to pick people that I genuinely like a lot of their movies, a lot of their roles, but even in that, there's always that one that I still see them every time they come out with something new. I have to kind of take that lens off first or consciously say, nope, they are not. They're not that person. This is a different character now. The first one that I went with is Hugo Weaving from the Matrix trilogy, specifically the first one, as Agent Smith.
Yep.
Very cool.
And yeah. He's a great Elrond from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. His Elrond is Agent Smith as an elf to me.
It's true.
And the other things that he's been in, he was great as the voice of V in V for Vendetta and several other movies that he's been in. But no matter what, every time I see him or I hear his voice, he's always back to Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
But I love him, and I think he's talented. I think that it's going to take something significant for him to not be pigeonholed as Agent Smith for me.
I might challenge you on that one, Jer.
Do it.
And my challenge is for you to watch Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and picture him as Agent Smith.
Yeah.
That's not the one with Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo, is it?
No, that one is Tu Wong Fu. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert does have Guy Pearce when he was still a bodybuilder. Yeah.
Yep.
Guy Pearce is a bodybuilder. Call. Now you've got my attention.
Yeah, he did some work. Is he from Australia or New Zealand? I don't recall.
I think Australia.
I saw one of his Australian movies that was very different from Agent Smith. It was very lighthearted and very kind of bubbly. But yeah, I think pretty much everything that he's done since then, I think absolutely has been Smith influenced, to say the least.
Well, it just feels like he can't get out of that cadence anymore, the way that he talked.
Yeah.
And I would have liked Elrond to have a different tone, still be serious and be intense, but be a little bit more lilting, a little bit more musical voice. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how Tolkien's elves were described. So as much as I love those movies, that will always be there as a not a sore spot, but something I have to overcome every time I see it is Agent Smith as Elrond.
I will agree with you on that point.
Yep. Mark, you're up next. Tell us what your first round pick was.
Okie dokie. So my first round pick is Jason Bateman. And the role that I think of is Michael Bluth from Arrested Development. And I like Jason Bateman a lot. I think he's very funny, but I also do think that he has somewhat of a limited range. He does a couple things really, really well, and those things are the dry, sarcastic, witty sort of approach. And you know, it strikes me that in other films that he's done, you know, be they Horrible Bosses or The Switch or The Change-Up, you know, I can never remember the name of his character in those films.
You mean he's not just Michael Bluth in every one of them?
Indeed, he's not. But damn if I can remember who he is. So I mean, that basically tells me that he's not doing much very differently from role to role, and maybe it's that he shouldn't, because he does this one thing really well, and that's what people want to see. That's why he's cast in things. And you know, all these characters have their little quirks, which he does well, but I remember those quirks and not the character. So I think that where he was cast and written really, really well, where it really suited his persona, was Arrested Development. And so Jason Bateman, you'll always be Michael Bluth to me.
I would love for him to kind of get past the Bluth phase and then start doing different stuff. Like I think he's being very smart about the roles that he's choosing in terms of, like, you know, making money when he can make a lot of money right now, which is good. I do not begrudge him that at all. But I look forward to him going into, like, the, you know, kind of like when Steve Carell did Little Miss Sunshine, like whatever his Little Miss Sunshine is, you know, like kind of branching out a little bit, trying some different things, trying more dramatic things. So, I look forward to him to not being that, because I think he can be really good. And again, I love the character. I love the show and I love him as an actor. I'm excited for him to get us to pop out of that a little bit.
Yeah. I think he's got it in him. You know, I recently saw a picture of him where he had a little bit longer hair than he usually does. And he had a beard. And with at least that look, I think he could be a little bit more, convincing as somebody that's a little bit less shoveled, more disheveled than
opposite shoveled,
opposite shoveled than Michael Bluth, unsheveled. Yes,
I remember when I saw Dodgeball and thought how funny he, I thought how funny he was in that, and how funny the pairing of him and what's his name from Office Space were as the announcers. And then
Gary Cole.
Gary Cole. Thank you.
Yeah. And I love Gary Cole in that.
And then having watched Arrested Development since then, and then going back to watch it, oh, that's just Jason Bateman. Like, it was funny before I realized that was his shtick.
Yeah.
And it's still funny. I mean, he's still funny at what he does, like you said, but it's, yeah. I didn't realize how much he was just doing his normal routine until I got used to his routine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And even something where the character is pretty drastically different, like the thing that that comes to my mind is The X, that also starred Zach Braff, or Jason Bateman plays basically the villain of the film, even though it's a comedy. And I'll leave it at that. He's a bad guy, but he's still very Jason Bateman, and I think he could be not Jason Bateman in the future, and I would enjoy it.
So, yeah.
So there's that.
Agreed. So I'm up next. So my pick for this one is an actor whom I really enjoy, who I like his work a lot, but ever since I saw him as Special Agent Dale Cooper in Twin Peaks, I haven't been able to see him as anybody else, and that's Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
I think he's very talented. I think he's great, but he happened upon the role that was absolutely perfect for him. You know, he's a strong actor. He's a very handsome man. But both of those are always like just a little bit off in his roles. Like, I liked him as in Dune. I didn't love him in Dune. And it's weird that this was well before Twin Peaks, because it felt like it was inspired by Twin Peaks in a way, even though it was many years before. But, you know, everything that I've seen him in, his character seemed like just a little bit off and not quite right. Like, he's not a bad actor. He's just a weird actor. And that was absolutely perfect for this role. So the way that it was written, the way the shows were directed, I mean, it's David Lynch. That's pretty much all you need to say about Twin Peaks, is that it was David Lynch. He just fit that role so, so perfectly. And he just absolutely leapt in, went for it, great gusto, you know, never winked at the camera, even though the series sort of, it kind of did like a half wink. Like, wait a minute, was that a wink? I don't know. It was really awkward. Did they just wink? I couldn't tell. You know, kind of one of those things, like if you're passing somebody, like, did they just wink? That was pretty much what the show did for the entire run. And he was along with it the whole way. So, anything that I've seen him in since then, even rewatching Dune, I can't break Dale Cooper. You know, he's been in a lot of stuff, but I just can't shake that original role of his. So, Kyle MacLachlan, you will always be Agent Dale Cooper to me.
Nice.
Thanks.
The earliest thing I ever saw him in was an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, nice.
Funny. And it was just one episode. It was all he was in. But you talk about, you know, him being playing very strange, like kind of imbalanced characters. And that one, he really goes off the deep end. So,
as you should in Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. And it was actually a pretty entertaining episode.
And on the opposite side of his chronology, I would mention Portlandia.
Yeah.
Where he's the mayor of Portland. And I think he's fantastic just because of that same offness that you mentioned, Kyle.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. That's a brilliant reference. And I think he's great as that. Yep. Lee, how about you? What's your first round pick?
Mine is, I believe, the first, second superhero we've talked about. It was my earliest, I guess, obsession with any superhero. It's Christopher Reeve as Superman.
That's a good pick.
I think he's...
Lee, Christopher Reeve is Superman.
Yes, absolutely.
He wasn't playing Superman. He was Superman.
I believed it when I was six saw that movie for the first time. I just remember so vividly watching that movie on VHS and just being completely glued to the screen the entire time. Like, you know, how are they doing this? And every time after that, if I saw him on TV in an interview or on a TV commercial or something like that, it was just like, oh, Superman's wearing a sweater, talking to somebody. You know, he was just Superman.
He did like sweaters.
Awesome. Yes.
I like that that's just a normal thing. Like, oh, Superman's in a sweater now.
Yep. Yeah.
He must get a little cold.
he's not working right now.
Yeah. But, you know, for me at least, he'll always be Superman, and I don't think that there's anyone who could play that role better than he did. I think it was very intentional on the part of the filmmakers to find someone who looked like the comic book character.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, they did it. They did that perfectly. So yeah, Christopher Reeve is Superman.
Well put. I like it. That's a great pick.
Thank you.
I'm surprised we didn't hear more feedback on that, because I think that that is the definitive version of this type of pick. So yeah, dig it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Andy, close us off for the first round. What was your first round pick?
My first round pick was Sir Alec Guinness, because to me, and for probably all of us, since we are all of a certain age, he simply is Obi-Wan Kenobi and nothing else.
Agreed.
Even though his acting resume is quite lengthy and really quite, you know, he's done some really, really incredible things. But to anyone who is probably 45 or younger, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think I really need to elaborate a ton, so I won't.
I don't need to.
Yeah. I think it's especially funny since we discussed him on The Bridge on the River Kwai and talked about his skill as an actor there and how much we love that performance and that it made us forget Obi-Wan. But yet, like a couple months later, we're like, wait, which one was that?
Yeah, exactly.
You've pretty much forgotten it.
I mean, even as I was actually just listening to that episode again recently, and I was thinking to myself, while I watched that movie, I really just pictured Obi-Wan Kenobi as a World War II general.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Because he's a Jedi. Why wouldn't he be able to do that?
He's a Jedi. Of course he could do that. Duh.
It's like, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi as a younger man.
Exactly. Superman wears a sweater. Obi-Wan Kenobi was a general.
Exactly.
Durr.
Oh, I like it. Man, there's so many potential show titles already in this episode. That's fantastic. Love it. Nice. All right, so that's the first round. Jer went with Hugo Weaving as Agent Smith in The Matrix. Mark went with Jason Bateman as Michael Bluth in Arrested Development. I went with Kyle MacLachlan as Special Agent Dale Cooper in Twin Peaks. Lee went with Christopher Reeve as Superman in Superman. And Andy went with Sir Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. Now we're going to talk about some feedback that we got from Facebook. So for those of you on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/mathishardnet. So this is just a smattering of the samples that we got. We're going to put in the show notes the whole list of feedback that we received. Again, it was so lengthy that we would be here forever, so we are not going to list every single one of them, but it doesn't mean that they weren't good. They were just too many, which is a great problem to have, an embarrassment of riches, as we said in our little meeting beforehand here. So Allison Clotter said, Robert Preston is always Harold Hill to me, and for me, he's Centauri from The Last Starfighter, so that's my feedback on that one. John Walker said, William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy in Star Trek. I think that's a great one. Both Jackie Bateman and Jennifer Hoffman Graham said Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. Steve Robb said Mark Hamill will always be Tatooine's favorite whiny little bitch. Can't argue with that. Lisa Lerke said Kathy Bates is always Annie Wilkes in Misery. Kimberly Studer Hansen. Yeah. Kimberly Studer Hansen said Audrey Toto as Amelie, which I think is spot on. Becca Ulhorn Rahlstad, who's contributed before, said, how about Matthew Broderick as Ferris Bueller? I think that's right.
Definitely.
On. Yep. Meg O'Reilly said Judy Garland as Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Yep. Kimberly Sturtz said, the guy who played Benjamin Linus on Lost will always be some manipulative dude that will somehow try to kill a person, which is awesome. I love that. Tyler Scouten said, the correct answer is Tim Curry as Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I think that is a correct answer, Tyler. I don't know if that is the correct answer. It is a correct answer. I think, Lee, I'm guessing you're going to say Clue.
Yes.
That's what I would have said.
Yep. Man, that's hard. That's a tough one. I could see both of those equally well.
Yeah, I don't know that I would pigeonhole him as, he's one of those that does well, and I don't see him as any one particular role.
Yeah, I mean, he was a gigantic devil character in Legend.
And he was a clown in It.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Andy, do you want to give Anna's feedback?
Yeah, Anna, my lovely wife, thought that Meg Ryan essentially was a caricature of herself for a... Did I say that word right? Caricature of herself for a time in movies such as Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Courage Under Fire.
Joe versus the Volcano.
I think we're going to get a little off topic here, but I'm going to take those three movies that I said specifically because I really think that was a very particular time and place of and genre of movie that were almost written around Meg Ryan. And
yep.
And the character that she played was this fictionalized version of Meg Ryan that everyone just kind of recognized.
Yep.
She certainly has played other things and done very well in them, but I think if you poll most people when they think of Meg Ryan, they will think of one of those three movies.
Yep. She kind of was her own zeitgeist.
She really was. While.
You're right. Yep. Indeed. And then last but not least here, Ashley Landry suggested Benedict Cumberbatch as Sherlock, which is awesome. So Ashley, thanks for the feedback. And Jerry, you mentioned that she's, what, 13? Is that right? A cousin of yours?
She is a new teenager. She's my niece. And the fact
niece.
That she...
Very
the
good.
The fact that she knows Benedict Cumberbatch as Sherlock makes my heart light and airy.
Indeed. Indeed. And Ashley, if you have listened or if you are listening to this, thank you. We're very happy to have a teenage listener. That's fantastic. So thanks much. All right. So that's the Facebook feedback that we got. Now we're moving on to the second round of our picks. And Lee is going to start us off there. So Lee, what was your second round pick?
Well, I think listeners of the podcast will admit that I have a slight appreciation for Band of Brothers. I brought it up once or twice.
Per episode?
Yeah, exactly. And we've cast many actors from Band of Brothers, so. I chose Damian Lewis as Dick Winters because it's the first thing I ever saw him in, and it's a 10-part miniseries in which he's in every episode. And he was so convincing in it that I didn't even realize he was British until years afterward when I saw him in an interview. And he just plays the role so well. And it's, you know, such a pivotal character in the book. And, you know, he's sort of a larger than life person. He was in real life. He died a couple of years ago, but yeah, I just thought that was the strongest performance in that entire miniseries. So, Damian Lewis, Band of Brothers.
Nice. I still haven't watched that, but I've been watching Homeland and really enjoy him in that. So
yeah.
I'm excited to expand further.
And he is very versatile. I mean, he's done a lot of really cool stuff since, but that's always the role that I will associate him with. Like when he was in the show Life on NBC, I was so happy that he was in that because, oh, this is great. Dick Winters is working again, you know?
Awesome.
He's yeah. aged really well.
Indeed. Indeed. So I'm up next here with my second round pick. So I've talked about this before, and it's going to be kind of a double whammy pick. This particular actor has had two phases of unforgettable roles for me. So the actor is Rainn Wilson. The first unforgettable role was Arthur on 6 Feet Under. And when I watched that, I couldn't imagine how I could ever see him as anyone else. Like, that was such a strong character. And Rain is such a unique and really potent actor that he absolutely embodied that character in every way imaginable. So, I mean, I you know, after seeing that, I didn't think there'd be any way that I could see that person as anybody other than Arthur. And then The Office came around, and his character of Dwight Schrute is one of the most memorable characters of any media in the last, I don't know, 15 years, probably. I mean, like, everybody knows Dwight. So, I mean, he is such a strong actor, and he makes really good choices. And because of that, he's had two roles in the last, you know, basically in his career that are completely unforgettable, one of which pretty much overwrote the one before that, which is pretty amazing. I think that's pretty spectacular. So that's my pick. Rainn Wilson as Arthur at 6 Feet Under and Dwight Schrute in The Office, the American version.
Agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks. Andy, how about you? What's your second round pick?
I went a little bit different with this pick. Instead of picking an actor that I only see in one role, I chose a role that has been portrayed by a few different actors and picked the one that I always envision as the correct choice.
What?
Way to break everything.
Sorry.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. Thank you, benevolent overlord. I chose the character of Jack Ryan, who is a main character in many Tom Clancy books and movies. And I chose the portrayal in The Hunt for Red October by Alec Guinness. Let's try it. Alec
Baldwin. Wow, he really can do anything.
Really, he's everywhere.
Alec Guinness as Alec Baldwin in The Hunt for Red October.
Obi-Wan Kenobi as Jack Ryan. No, Alec
that,
Baldwin.
I would watch that movie. I would watch the hell out of that movie.
So would I.
Yeah, me too.
I'd watch the animated remake.
But the character of Jack Ryan has been portrayed in a few different movies. Alec Baldwin, that's going to be tough, was the first to do it in The Hunt for Red October. And I thought it did a great job. He really, in my opinion, portrayed what that character was like as an analyst, not a field agent, and a guy that kind of got thrust into that role against his will. Whereas in later movies, Harrison Ford portrayed him in a couple, and then Ben Affleck did one. And I just felt like every subsequent portrayal was worse than the original. So I'm going with my second one as Alec Baldwin as Jack Ryan in The Hunt for Red October.
Andy, have you seen the most recent Jack Ryan, Chris Pine?
No, intentionally, no. The previews looked interesting. It looked like every kind of movie of that ilk has looked the same in a preview to me since The Bourne Identity. Like they're just trying to do The Bourne Identity again.
That's fair.
And that's another character. If you've ever read the books by Robert Ludlum, The Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, et cetera, they're 100%, 180 degrees different from the movies. Just completely different stories. Not to say that the movies are bad, but I kind of feel like those movies with Chris Pine that I have not seen, I will admit, just look like they're just trying to squeeze more juice out of that piece of fruit.
So to me, every Jack Ryan movie besides Hunt for Red October feels like the exact same movie. Hunt for Red October was such a unique story compared to the rest of them, at least.
And the other books that they remade, I mean, The Hunt for Red October, if you've ever read a Tom Clancy book, they're thick, thick books. But The Hunt for Red October is actually a pretty short story. Which I think made for an easier adaptation to a movie. Like The Sum of All Fears is one of the movies that, Clear and Present Danger was the one that I wanted to think of that had Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan. But that book is many hundreds of pages long and was probably better suited to be made into like a mini series rather than a movie. It's just, you had to cut out so much to whittle it down to a 2-hour feature. And that to do that, then you have to get the pacing really, really fast. And it just turns into an action movie, which is really what happened to all the rest of those movies. And they're better, political suspense dramas with action in them rather than, blow them up, shoot them up movies.
Rah, rah, rah.
Rah, rah, rah. Sis, boom, yeah. Rah. So, to summarize, Alec Baldwin as Jack Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So I like that. I like that little twist on the theme as well.
Thank you. Mark.
Nice.
To you.
I did not go very different with this pick. I went more the same, at least in the approach. And my pick is Zooey Deschanel. I do think that there's a little bit of a twist in this one because there's the role is not like her entry into Hollywood. It's not her coming out role, which probably would have been in the film Elf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I would pick the role of Summer Finn from 500 Days of Summer.
Nice.
And I think, and my reason is that it seems to me like Hollywood has kind of caught onto her slowly, even if it doesn't feel like it. She was in Elf all of 10 years ago, and then Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Bridge to Terabithia. And it feels like the profile of her works are getting just higher and higher until, and finally now, she has her sitcom, The New Girl, which is very popular and has, a good many seasons under its belt. I feel like 500 Days of Summer, it really hits that sweet spot for her of doing what she does really well, which is cute and quirky. And honestly, that's kind of it. she represents the most recent and probably the final of my celebrity crushes. Then I think she showed off her limitations by hosting SNL, and she really wasn't very good.
Bummer.
I think that New Girl's also kind of showing off those limitations, where she is indeed cute and quirky and surprisingly funny. but also shows off that she's not that great of an actress. She's mostly just cute and quirky and funny.
She has a great ensemble
around her.
Yes, and she's very good in that role in that ensemble. But I agree with you, Mark, that I think that she's running into walls a little bit.
Yeah. So that's why I picked Summer Finn from 500 Days of Summer, which was really a great portrayal. And it helps that it's a great movie, too.
So that's sort of like you, it's like your idealized version of her. So like, even though other versions might not have continued that trend, like you were kind of choosing to have that be the version of Zoe that you wish to see, kind of, is that a portrayal of it?
Yeah, I would say that. Although the real idealized version of her for me would be in the band She and Him.
Ah, okay.
But I do think that that 500 Days of Summer really hit all her strengths and avoided her weaknesses.
Got it. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. That's interesting. Thinking about it like the idealized self as opposed to just the one that was portrayed most strongly. I guess they could kind of go together, but yeah, I like that. Good one. Good pick.
Thanks.
Jer, round us out here. What is your second round pick?
Well, I went with a similar style of pick that you did, and I'm picking an actor, and I'm going to give two examples, a early career and late career, and that is the inestimable. Is that the right?
Inestimable?
Inestimable.
Esteemed?
As the very great.
There we go.
Bill Murray.
As?
So early career Bill Murray, you will always be Peter Venkman to me. I think everything through the 80s and even into the early 90s when he was doing Scrooged and Groundhog Day, I think all of his movies were at somehow different shades of Venkman. And now that I said that out loud, I'm going to figure out how to make that into a band. but I think he was always playing, and maybe it's kind of the same as the Zooey Deschanel pick of that was just who he played, and he just kind of perfected it in Peter Venkman, and then all the other roles were just sort of either building up to that or using it after he had perfected it. But I feel like all of his early 80s, 90s comedies, there was always a Peter Venkman in them. And then in his later career, he will always be, and I can't even remember his character's name, but he will always be Bill Murray from Lost in Translation since then.
Bob Harris.
Bob Harris. Well, that's a easily forgettable name. So yeah, even into his Steve Zissou and other later work that even might be on the comedy side, ever since Lost in Translation, all elder statesman Bill Murray just has that Lost in Translation character to it. And I don't know if it's because he's getting old and there's a sadness even to his comedy, and that was just portrayed so well in Lost in Translation, or what it is, but I just see that character now in him.
Yeah, I think that's right on. I think there is definitely a moroseness to everything that he does. Like, you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, sort of, with all his roles. And I think that's really great. I think that informs who he is now. And it also is informed by how totally weird and amazing he is outside of cinema. You know, like, there's the stories of him just showing up at parties and like just hanging out and doing dishes. I mean, it's like, so that kind of informs that too. So I think some of his film performances can be either betrayed or complemented by his real life hijinks. And I think that's in a really good way. But yeah, I like that. I like that read on both of those. I think that's great. And I love that you picked Bill Murray because he's Bill Murray.
Jerry, I'm gonna offer an edit to your later career reference.
Certainly.
Point. Because I agree with you that there is a recurring theme, but I'm gonna go even farther back from Lost in Translation to the Royal Tenenbaums, which was two years earlier. That I think that moroseness and that kind of has affected everything that he's done, I would trace back to that role.
But I think, and that's probably true, but when I watch Royal Tenenbaums now, I see Lost in Translation in it. And it's not the other way around.
It's like me and Twin Peaks and Dune.
Right.
You see the future?
I can see through time.
Okay.
Yep. Good suggestion, though.
I think that's kind of where I was going from this question is what's the role that you see when you see that person? Not necessarily from a chronological standpoint of they did this and now everything after that is always going to be compared to this, but later career Bill Murray, I'm always going to see, even if it was movies before that, I'm always going to see Lost in Translation in him. And I think part of that is just how much how beautiful his character was in that movie, and how I think there was a lot of Bill Murray in that character. And he's the kind of person that puts a lot of himself in the roles that he plays.
I agree with that.
Yeah, very well put. Okay, so that wraps it up for our second round picks. So Lee went with Damian Lewis as Dick Winters in Band of Brothers. I went with Rainn Wilson as Arthur in 6 Feet Under and Dwight Schrute on The Office. Andy went with Alec Baldwin as Jack Ryan in The Hunt for Red October. Mark went with Zoe Deschanel as Summer in 500 Days of Summer. And Jared did another double whammy with Bill Murray as both Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters and later in his career as Bob Harris in Lost in Translation. And then before we wrap up here, we got lots of feedback on Twitter as well. We'll kind of get the greatest hits here. Matt Putzko said, not so much movies, but Jason Alexander as George Costanza in Seinfeld, which, yeah, I mean, that's...
Can't argue that with that.
Is a career-defining role for him, absolutely.
Mark Josting had some words to say.
Yeah. Where's Duckman in this conversation?
I think where he should be, I would say. Our good friend Josh Freeman suggested Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter in the Harry Potter movies and Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense. I think that's good. I think Radcliffe is a great actor, and I just don't think he's chosen great roles since that. He's done a lot of plays. I think that's awesome. He just hasn't done a lot of movie work that I've been terribly interested in, but I'm excited for him to do other stuff. But
yeah, he needs time, though. You know, Radcliffe needs time. I mean, bear in mind, he's like, what, 24?
Yeah.
I mean, and he, I haven't seen, what was it, the Woman in Black?
I kind of like that one. I mean, for what it was good. It was cheesy and a predictable story, but I thought he did. I didn't see Harry Potter in his role there, even though he was playing a fine British gentleman. But I mean, I think that I could see the glimmerings of a post Harry Potter career.
Yeah, and you know, and he's got a film coming out pretty soon. I think it's just called Horns, but it's I think it's based off a comic book. Yeah, I think it looks very promising.
Yep, agreed. And then with Haley Joel Osment, I mean, I think that was an incredible performance. And he, you know, he was one of the most poised child actors that I've ever seen. And you could take that both negatively and positively. I say it positively. You know, I think you get into kind of the career child actor thing and then what comes of them, whether it be like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen or Judy Garland back in the day. I mean, you know, I mean, there's lots of examples of that being a bad thing. And I think he just, I don't know if he chose to go out of the spotlight or if he just sort of organically went out of the spotlight. I don't know which it was, but yeah, I mean, his performance in The Sixth Sense and in AI, I think were both extraordinary young actor performances, about as good as you can get out of a young actor, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, I just don't know if that was a conscience thing a conscious thing, or if he just stopped getting roles.
Well, he probably wanted to do things like finish school.
Yeah. Yep. And then last, Joe Williams said, Gary Sinise could dress in drag and all I'd see is Lieutenant Dan acting like a lady. So of course, referring to Forrest Gump there. And the wording of that is just extraordinary. So good one, Joe. I like that. So that wraps it up here for this special episode of Remakers, Mark. If you want to find us online, you can do so at mathishard.net. You can find show notes for this episode. And again, we will be putting all of the Facebook and Twitter feedback that we received there, so you can track that there. So if we didn't say your name here, it doesn't mean we don't love you. We do love you. We just had way, way too much information. And that's a great thing to have happen. So please keep giving feedback and we really appreciate it. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, as we said, as username mathishardnet. If you would like to give feedback of any sorts, you can do so there, or you can hit us up on our contact form at mathishard.net. Gentlemen, until the next time we hang out, you will always be the Remakers Marks for me.
Aww.
Thank you.
Aww.
Aww, I know.
And good also stuff, with huh? you.
Hey, no, you. Oh, jeez.
Jaren has timing.
I finally got it right.
Indeed, indeed. Well, gents, until the next time, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.